whole system can be healed and complete and sound and whole, spirit, soul, and body. We thank you for signs and wonders this few days we're here. We believe for the power of God to move mightily. Pray for all everybody, including me, to have fresh revelation of this subject and come upon us with great power and authority and open our hearts and minds to you fully and let us receive and possess that which you have given to us. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. Everybody hold up a minute here. Sombreste cabalevisci comando levicando keshina mahaya bosita. Vrosutu capayenduli este ke levanda leisto. Now saith the Lord, the enemy of your soul has tried to fill your mind with fear in this earth. News and reports and men that don't know truth have spoken and tried to capture the minds, not only of America, but the earth. But know this, and I'm working in your behalf, and angels, many angels that were sent in the 90s to the world to help us at this time. And I see that, and there's others coming still yet to help the body of Christ in the days ahead. So be open to that. Be attuned to that. Get material that helps you understand that, and your responsibility in it, saith the Lord. For it's a day of rejoicing, not a day of downfall. It's a day of excelling. It's a day of strength. It's a day of dominion for the body of Christ that will yield to my word and to my spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We receive it today. We receive it, not just in this moment, but we receive it to meditate on it. A day of dominion, a day of authority. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You know, when Pastor Ames started to talk about things we've heard have tried to make us fearful. Yeah. And that was God's response to that. I held my peace because he was talking, but yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if you'll receive that, and if they have it taped, I'm sure they do probably, yeah. You could get it off the tape and write it out, or somebody here could do that for the whole church and then make a copy if you want it. And you'll have to listen to me here carefully as a prophet. You'll have to do your part in agreement with it. Right. Nothing's happening unless you do something about it. Let me just say, there's no angels moving. God's not in control of that. He gave us the authority in that. Yeah. And I'll prove it in the next few days if you'll come and listen and get in your Bible with me. So I'm not bragging. I just know what I'm talking about. Yes, sir. So you'll have to agree and say things like in a prophecy. Even if you get a prophecy, a personal prophecy, it's not coming to pass because I said it or anybody else said it. It's coming to pass when you get it and get it in your mouth. And it may not come to pass the first day you say it unless you're that developed. And I don't know anybody that's quite like that except Jesus. There are some people ahead of me and some behind me, but I'm in there somewhere. Yes, but you just stay with it. Mm-hmm. It's the things you stay with that'll last in your life. And people are always saying, what are you preaching, something new? I'm preaching what I've always preached for 42 years on this subject, on angels. I'm going to preach on that this morning, tonight, and tomorrow night. And let me say something before I let you be seated. This morning, I'm just going to give some foundations because some of you look different to me, like I never met you or saw you. Maybe I have. How many have never heard me preach before? Well, there's quite a few, several. So we're going to, and listen, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Faith doesn't come by having heard. A little bit will come, but you know you don't get everything that somebody says. You never do. I never do. Notice any other human being, if they said they did, they lied about it. So I'm just a real honest person. You know, I'm blunt sometimes. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. But if I step on your toes, just tie your shoe up and wear it, okay? I'm just speaking truth. And like Paul said, have I become your enemy because I told you the truth? No, I hope not. You could be seated. Praise God. Now, I want to make mention of a few books. I have more than this out there. I'm sure I do. But this is my book on angels on the earth. That's where you got to think about it. Now, I won't say a whole lot about that. I've taught it here before, that part portion. There's angels on the earth. All the angels don't live in heaven. Whoever told you that, they didn't know what they were talking about. And I have more than two or three scriptures to prove that. And I found that out 42 years ago. So you're going to have to do something about these angels on earth or they're not doing anything for you. Because I do know how to use them and work them. I'll go to the unemployment office because yours is sitting down there smoking by the dumpster. No, not really. But I just want to know if you're listening to me or not. You think I'm kidding? I'm kidding about the smoking, but when I started out, I only knew I had one angel then, but now I have a group that follows me around, and they work with me in my ministry, especially the healing ministry and some other areas too. but that's a predominant area. So you have to read this, and if you haven't read it, well, get it back out and read it. I encourage you to do it. It's not everything I know for sure, because when I got the manuscript back for this book, I think it's only 100 pages. I had 517 pages, and the Lord laughed at me. You ever been laughed at by the Lord? He started chuckling. He said, "Michael, Michael, Michael, you're never going to have time to preach all you know about angels in your time in the earth." I said, "Well, then why am I writing it?" "Because I want you to give the essence of it, that people can get a hold of it quickly and comprehend enough to get their faith moving in that area." You know, I'm just talking to you. I've been doing this a long time, 45 years in the ministry, full time. The book of Genesis alone has more faith in angels than most churches I preach in. First book of the Bible. The Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all of them, even Adam, they understood about angels to some level, especially Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they visited with them and they protected them. You know, you remember Jacob, and he sold the birthright, and his brother hated him for that, was going to kill him. But the angels were with him and took care of a lot of things. Anyway, you have to read through there and deduct some of this by thinking. You can't just read the Bible and then throw it in the corner. It's not going to work for you. You have to meditate on the Word. What does that mean? Sit down and be quiet. Turn the TV off. Turn your phone off. And just meditate on what you just read. And then I always, this is me, I ask a lot of questions. And Father always responds when I need to know it. Anyway, thank you for your enthusiasm. Okay. Now, these are two new books. I have one more. I don't know if it's out there or not. How far does the blood go? Was there any left? That's a new book. And this is another new book. Somebody's anointed to help you. And I won't take up my time by giving advertisements. I wouldn't even fool with this if it was me. And I told the Lord, I'd rather not write books and have to publish them and have to have somebody work on stuff and send it away and have it, you know, fixed and all the stuff you do. It's a lot of work to that. But he said, I want you to do it. So you're either going to obey me or not. And I said, yeah, I'm going to obey you. I wasn't real enthusiastic at that moment, but you know, God don't care whether you're enthusiastic. Now, he does care, but sometimes you just have to be honest and you just have to, he knows what you're thinking. And you just say, I'll do that. All right. What this means was somebody's anointed. It was a script. It wasn't a scripture. It was just a thought that God put in my heart one day. Somebody's anointed to help you, Michael. And of course, as I thought about that for that day, maybe a few others before I started to write, I realized that Cyrus in the Old Covenant didn't even know God. I think it's Isaiah 45. And yet he helped Israel. Yes. And the Bible says plainly, he didn't know God. Yeah. God anointed a heathen to bless Israel. And then it dawned on me, I'm not in that Old Covenant. See, I've taught you this before. I'm a Hebrews 8:6 guy. Yeah. I'm in a better covenant. So anything they had in the Old Covenant, I got plus more or wouldn't be better. You always think about better. Just like what the Spirit of God said to us about the news people and other people saying, you know, everything's not going to heaven, it's going the other way. But that's not true for us. You look like other people. You know what I mean? As we're just walking down the street, but we're not like other people. Our insides are totally different. How we hear is different. How we speak is different. What we believe is different. So you're really a new creature in Christ, the Bible says. And you've been raised to sit with him far above all rulership, authority, dominion, which validates what he just said to us verbally, because we're in him. Amen. And the same authority Jesus has as the head of the body, it's dispersed, the Bible says, throughout his whole body. You might be the mole on the left little toe, but you still got as much as the head has. I'm not playing with you. This is scripture. But you have to come to grips with that. Authority is one of those subjects the devil will beat your brains out if you don't listen and you don't get that. He'll just run roughshod over you your whole life because you don't think you have authority to deal with him. If you only knew how scared he is, and I'm telling you this right now. He is intimidated. And I believe it, and I talk to him that way. You're the loser, I'm the winner. I may tell you about Big Mouth later. I don't know if I told you that story before. I did. This lady's going, yeah. You got to think about Big Mouth like he's the devil. There was a guy in you know, the Navy. When I was in the Navy, he was picking on another guy in my barracks. Guy had a waterhead about 1.5 size of all of us other men. And this bully, he just kept picking on him, picking on him, picking on him. And I don't know something about me. If you run all my bells and get all my whistles, I'm liable to go off on you. Yeah. Now, I try to restrain that better because I'm a spirit-filled believer now. But you could just picture... No, okay. I'm laying on my bunk one day, and he started on this kid, and I just had all I was going to have out of it. Yeah. And I jumped up, and he's at the other end of the bed. Hey, big mouth! Just like that, screamed at him. Hey, big mouth! He turned around. And boy, if looks couldn't kill, I wouldn't be here. Right. And I said, yeah, I'm talking to you, big mouth. You're just a big bully. And I want you to quit talking to this boy this way. And if you don't, I'm going to tackle you. I'm going to bite you. I'm going to kick you. I'm going to strangle you. I'm going to hurt you. You might win in the end, but you're going to be hurting when I get done with you. I've had all I'm going to have out of you. Don't matter how tall I am. He's a big boy. He's kind of thick, and he's about 6 foot. And he didn't say a word for a while. I said, talk to me, big mouth. You're always running your mouth anyway. I want you to give me an answer in front of all these other men in here, because when I beat you, if you say anything to this boy, even if we're out on the parade ground marching or we're eating lunch, I will jump the tables. I will beat you with my plate. I will stab you with my fork. Now you, it takes a lot to get me to that level. You just think I'm teasing. You don't know me. I am a rough guy, but I'm not going to fight in the parking lot with you. Don't come out here and get mad at me. But it was right, and I was tired of his BS, or I could say something else, but I won't. And I just said, I want to hear from you, or I'm going to run at you in about a minute, and we'll just see what you got. Yeah. And so he's a bully, so he's got cronies that follow him, and they jumped off the rack, you know, the bed, to stand by him. There's about four or five, and I heard a disturbance behind me, and there's four or five guys got behind me. I said, praise God, it's going to be on like a chicken bone. I thought, I don't know if I can take five guys. I mean, come on. Anyway. But I made him tell me, promise me in front of the whole barracks that he would not do that again. And I said, well, just remember what's coming if you do. I've already told you, and I got other things I'm not going to talk about, but I'll get you. I'm going to get you right then. I'm not going to wait till we get back to the barracks. But if you're going to be a big shot and a big man, we'll see what you got. I'm going to see what you got, because I've had it with you. I've just had it with you. You understand, big mouth?
Yeah.
And I'm waiting on your answer. Either shut up or put up. And finally he said, okay. I said, okay, you guys heard it. So if I jump out of line and go get him, you'll just know what I'm doing. Or the first punch falls. Yeah, okay. Anyway, I don't know why I told that. Oh, you got to, hang on. You got to think of the devil like him. This is a deal what the Lord showed me after I had that. And I wasn't saved back then. So, you know, Katie barred the door. There was nothing illegal about whatever I wanted to do with him. That's all I'm saying. I wasn't saved or anything. So I said, I thought about it later. I really did that, didn't I? And then the Lord said, he's just like the devil, Michael. He's always shooting his mouth off to you, trying to scare you and intimidate you. And he bullies the weaklings in the group. But when you stand up to him in faith and you really mean it, he knows that too, and he don't want to fool with you.
Amen.
Always remember the devil's big mouth.
Amen.
In the spirit realm.
Yeah.
He hadn't got what he used to got. I know that. He's been demoted. And we're high above him.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So this is about praying about things you need to do. Our people you might need to meet, they may be heathens. They may not even be believers, but they know how to help you. And they may not even like you. That's what the favorites I get. Sometimes somebody don't like me, but they want to bless me. Hey, I'll take it. Thank you. I'm just talking. You listen. I got to get into my word here today. This is my book on healing, new book. This and this book, somebody's going to help you. And I have another book, How Far Does the Blood Go? But this is a wonderful book. We have scriptures. We got there's 31 scriptures for 31 days. You could take one a week, or one a day, rather. This one's Proverbs 4, if you tend to my words, and so forth and so on. Then we had about six or seven scriptures. My son, pay attention to all the words I am telling you. Lean in closer so that you may hear all I say. Keep them before you. Meditate on them. That's what I said a minute ago. Set them safely in your heart. For those who discover them, they are life. They bring wholeness and healing to their bodies. That's just one of the six or seven other references, other Bibles. Same scripture. You know, there's something about other Bibles that have a light to it. And, you know, if you get it turned just right, you'll get more light out of it. I'm not against King James Bible, but I just know a few things, and I've studied hard. You with me?
Yes.
Okay. Hallelujah. Don't let all this scare you. I think I did tell you I've been studying this 42 years. You'd think a guy would have some notes or more. Yeah. I just received this before I left to come out here. This is from a church in Kentucky I was at, 218. I was there, 14 year. This lady tells me, my 14-year-old daughter was diagnosed with scoliosis. Pastor Jacobs prayed for her. And I'm not a pastor anymore, but that's fine. You use pastor if you want. But anyway, August 2018 at the Word of Life Church in Columbia, Kentucky. The following May 2019, she went to the orthopedic doctor for a possible back brace. New x-rays were taken and showed that she no longer had scoliosis. The doctor said that the curvature had straightened out. Today, she's 18 years old and has a perfectly straight spine. I just thought that was interesting. I get those in the mail a lot. It's just exciting. If that was your daughter, you'd be excited. Or you. Yeah. All right, I'm going to give just some basic things as we start out today, and I'll try not to preach you under the chair. I'm not going to preach for hours and hours, but you need to know this. So let's go over to Hebrews, of course, Hebrews chapter 1, and that's our kind of basic foundation for teaching this study. And praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 1, and what Hebrews is, let me say this about it, it's a contrast between the Old Testament and the New. It's a contrast on something that worked then, but now we have something better. I'm not a Levitical priest anymore, you know that? We sang it today, I don't know if you caught that, we're royalty. Yes. We're in the royal priesthood. Right. You may not feel royal. You could be sick in your body and messed up in your mind, but you're still royalty if you recognize it and say that and begin to reach for it. And you're not going to earn it either. It's given. You have, everything from Jesus is given. I said this before. I don't know how many people caught it. You don't want what you deserve. Get over that. You're going to be sadly disappointed. But I want what all he's offering. And all that he's offering, he did it for me. I don't have to do it again. Isn't that right? Didn't he bear your sicknesses and diseases? So for anything to come on you that has the flavor of sickness, disease, or pain, he already took it. Yes. It's an injustice to be sicker. And of course, you just have to know the Lord, like my book and other people's books and the Bible, healing scriptures. Yeah. You have to stay refreshed in that. Yeah. If you lay your Bible and your book somewhere and you don't do that for a while, you'll start having symptoms normally. Yeah. Or worse, you know, big symptoms maybe. I'm not threatening you. I'm trying to help you stay well. But what I'm saying is, and the angels are a gift. You didn't create them. I didn't create them. It wasn't my idea to give an angel to me to protect me or to help me. I got all kinds of different angels that work with me. I didn't ask for any of them. I didn't ask to see anything ever from Jesus. I don't know what made me so smart because I was so dumb. I was an ex-drug addict, drug dealer. I mean, you know, I burnt my brain out through drugs. And God healed me. Eventually healed me so I could remember things and be normal again. My wife used to ask me questions. I couldn't answer what we ate last night for dinner. She said, really? I said, well, I named three things and you said that wasn't what we ate, so evidently I don't remember. I would have told you the truth. But I got in the Word and started getting my mind renewed, and my wife was with me one time at a grocery store, and I knew this guy slightly, and I started witnessing to him in the aisle between the beans and the cabbage or something. And my wife walked away and she said, you know, you quoted seven scriptures to that guy and told him where they were at in the Bible. I said, oh, she said, yeah, you did. So what was happening? The Word was healing my brain. The Word, and I lost 80 pounds shooting speed. You know, it doesn't look like it today, but just remember. All right. Shooting speed, you know, all the time, and it just made you shrink up and lost your mind, and your body began to deteriorate too. And all that. So what was happening, the Word, renewing my mind to the Word, just generally speaking, was changing me. I was saved at that time, but I didn't understand a lot of things, hardly anything. You know, that's what you are when you start. You hardly knew anything. You just knew you needed Jesus to help me. Jesus, I don't know if you prayed with the radio preacher, it was in church or in your living room, but you got saved and things changed for you. All right. I better get off that so I move ahead. So it's a contrast. Every chapter, like they go in here and talk about Aaron being the high priest. Well, he's not the high priest anymore. Jesus is, and he's eternal. Amen. And I'm not in a Levitical priesthood. And this really bugs me, but I'm going to let you know what I think. If you bought a prayer shawl from some preacher trying to sell something to you, it's going to make you pray better. That is crazy. He just took your money. I can stand. Now, don't get this image in you too tight. I can stand in the shower naked and God can hear me. It's not a prayer shawl that puts me over or some kind of stupid gig like water from the, you know, the right of a river over there, Jordan River. I mean, the guy might have got it out of the creek down the street from where you live. You don't know. But that's mysticism. That's demonic. I don't make money on gig, on pretend stuff. Just trying to help you. All right. So let's read verse 13 and 14. It's going between the angels and Jesus here. He's trying to point something out. But to which of the angels said he at any time? And that's the point. He didn't say this to an angel at any time. Sit on my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Who did he say that to? He said it to Jesus. And he also, in thinking about that, he said it to me and you. He's making your enemies your footstool. A footstool is something you put your feet on. So that means you have dominion over whatever it is. Really, you got dominion over everything if you just really walked into the fullness of it. You know, when the devil shows up in my life, I talk to him brutally, just like I did Begmouth. I'm not afraid to do it. I don't care where I'm at. I'll say, in Jesus' name, you get out of here and take your stuff with you.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, you're defeated and I'm the winner and I take authority over you right now. Oh, it's probably a demon. You know, the devil doesn't fool with everybody the same, but he's got lots of helpers. All right. So he said this to Jesus, and by the way, he did it because Jesus is the head of this body. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I don't know if you like it or not, but I'm going to tell you, and it's not macabre or weird. I don't watch horror movies and stupid stuff like that. I don't watch any movie if I get a buzz down here. That's turn that off. Or go to a different channel. That's not right. But I had a vision not long ago, maybe 2 or 3 months ago, Jesus in his, and I'm just going to tell you how I saw it. It was a chair by the throne, and it was just a head on it. Now, you got to understand what I'm saying here, and you better catch on. You'll get a big boost with this. And Jesus talked to me. That head talked to me. He said, what's wrong with this picture? I said, you don't have a body. He said, yeah, that's right, you are. You and all my believers. That's why you just saw my head. I'm trying to show you something, Michael. He can't do anything with his head. He could dictate to us, speak to us. You know what I'm saying? But he can't heal anybody with his head. He heals people through the body of Christ. Generally speaking, all of you have some level of anointing to lay hands on people. You may not have a tangible anointing like I have or a gifting like I have. And I'm not bragging about it. I didn't ask for it. I'm just trying to fulfill it. But if you would pray a little more, maybe God would show you something that you could do that's in your level of ministry. Everybody's important. I'm not saying, I'm not bragging about anything. I'm just telling you what's, if I don't tell you what's in my mantle, you'd never know it. I mean, you might get in a prayer line, get a little buzz or something, but if I say specifically, da, 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 or whatever, the healing endowment is a lot broader than just laying my hands on people. And usually, now that God's anointed me and dealt with me about this, and Dr. Dufresne dealt with me about it, and then Jesus dealt with me about it, so I believe they were all true prophets, Dr. Dufresne and Jesus, okay, about my hands. But so I'm just talking to so. What was missing in that picture was his body, and that's me and you. But now we're assigned to earth at this point, but we're still his body. I know my feet's on the planet. I know I'm in Dodge City, Kansas. Yeah, I think so. Sometimes I wake up and go, what planet am I in? What state? What country am I in? I was just in Mexico last week. Anyway, you know, you got to identify yourself with his body. You're in his body somewhere. And you have authority because you're his body. You're his body. Now you say, well, I had parents, their name was, you know, Tim and Gina or whatever. Yeah, but you got new genes now. And I'm not talking about Levi's. You got new whole thing. You're a new creature. If you stay with the word, it'll change all of you. Your spirit, your soul. It's already changed your spirit because you're born again. But it'll change the way you think about things, the way you analyze things or don't analyze it. You know, people that reason everything out up here, they don't go very far. God loves you, but you got to learn to renew your mind to the Word. And it's not like your brain or your way you think until you renew it to that. Amen? And then it'll filter into your body. You know, the life of God will flow through your body. I say that every day. Life of God works in every organ, every tissue, every cell in my body, every bone. The Lord regulates hormones in my brain and regulates it correctly. As a 73-year-old man. You know, I just talk like that. I've had to train myself to talk. I didn't talk like that when I first got saved. I was a drug addict, you know, a drug dealer. I'm not going to repeat what I used to say or how I used to be. I was not a good person right then. I was just, the devil had a hold of me. to the degree that I couldn't say no anymore to drugs, any kind of drugs. And I, you know, anyway, I had no, I'll talk about that some other time. But anyway, I showed that thing with you. It wasn't grotesque. It wasn't like holding the head up and blood coming out. It wasn't like that. But it was just a chair, and he was doing that to help me kind of reinforce what I already knew, that I'm in his body, and he was sharing that with me because I didn't see myself in there. But now I do, because the whole body is seated with Christ. Not below him, not beside him, not above him, but with him. I don't know if you realize that lately. You're at the right hand of God, which is the throne of all. It's all in the right hand, according to Scripture. I'm in Jesus, and I'm seated with him. I'm in this earth, but I'm in this earth to do his will in the earth, to help humanity, set people free, get them healed, help them to gain things like they don't have to be poor their whole life. I'm not teaching on it. I'm shotgunning you right now. It's going everywhere. I'm sorry. I'll draw back into this. Let me read verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits? He's talking about angels. They're spirits. Verse 7 says that too. A lot of places say that in the Bible. Are they the angels? Are they not all ministering spirits? They're spirit beings then. Now, they can take on a body momentarily and look human, but just for a moment or two, I've had that happen too, where they come like that, but most time they're in the spirit of all the visions I've had. Yes, only had that happen one time with where they came in and looked like a human being to me. Are you listening?
Yes.
So I'm just trying to help you here. Are they not all ministry? All the angels, there's spirits here, it's called spirits. All the angels have a job description. In other words, you know, my mother, when she was younger, she prayed a lot and different things happened. She got sick and, you know, went to heaven eventually. But, you know, the angels, they're sent here to help us. All of you. Well, I've never seen one. That brings me to a nice little thing I'm going to tell you about my granddaughter. My granddaughter, Natalie, she's 10 now. She was 5 then. She went to a Lutheran preschool. She called the house and the phone rang. My wife is named Diana. She went to heaven last year in September. She went to heaven. She said, it's Natalie. She wants to talk to Pawpaw. I said, hey, what's up, honey? She said, Mommy said you see angels. I said, well, sometimes I do. Well, Mommy said they call you the angel man. I said, some people do. I don't appreciate it being called that, but they do call me that some because I teach on it all the time. Mommy said you had a book on angels, and I want one. So I said back, well, I would have got you one if you, I thought you wanted one. I'll get you one next time I see you. Is that, yeah. I said, do you even read? She said, no, but Mommy's going to read it to me. It was the sweetest thing. But her main question was when she got done, tell me what Mommy said. She was 5. She said, I want you to tell me how I can see an angel. I said, honey, I don't have authority to do that. I don't even lie to my grandchildren. I didn't lie to my children and tell them about the Easter Bunny either or Santa Claus. Just so you know what I think if you did that.
Yeah.
Anyway. Because then when you really need to tell them something they need to believe you in, they won't. Does he look like Santa Claus? No, he's not fat. You know what I'm saying, don't you? But I said, no, I don't have authority to tell you that. I said, honey, you're going to have to pray to Jesus and ask him. He's the only one I know that has authority to let you see. But you might see an angel eventually. I don't know. But for now, no, I don't have authority to tell you you're going to see an angel. Okay, then what am I going to... I said, so then finally I said, what is all this interest about angels for anyway? What stirred you up? She said, well, I have two church friends, two girls, Bella and Avery. I said, yeah, I know them. She said, I wanted to pray for them and their angels. I said, okay. Well, can you do this? Could you follow me in prayer if I pray slowly in English and just say what I say? Yeah. I said, okay, let's go. Father, in Jesus' name, in Jesus, I pray for Avery and Bella's angels. She said that. And I pray that they're released now to protect those girls. And she said that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, could you pray that every day, what I just told you to pray? Yes, sir. I said, well, you got it. Until you know more, that's sufficient to do it that way. And maybe mommy will read you my book. The sweetest thing, though. And so then I found out at the end, she told me, well, Papa, I told my teacher about you this morning. Okay, wait a minute. You told your teacher about me about what? Well, people call you the angel man and you see angels. And I said, you told your teacher that in front of the class? Yeah, it was show and tell day. So I kind of knew the answer, but I couldn't resist asking her, what did your teacher say? Nothing. I don't think she knows anything about it. She'd probably get sidelined if she did try to answer it by the principal of the school. You know, people in the world, they're just scared to say anything. I'm not, but they are. I'm not trying to scare people. I'm just trying to inform people. You guys probably have relatives at Thanksgiving smoking a cigar, throwing potatoes at people, and they think they're all that. They're going to answer all your Christian questions for you. You ever meet a relative like that? They know it all. They don't know anything. But anyway, you don't need to tell them that. I don't want you to hit up the head with the pork chop. All right. I'm not getting real far, Pastor Jim. 31 minutes I've been speaking. Are they not all ministering spirits? What I want to show you is they have assignments and they want to fulfill them. And one of my visions, I'm not talking this morning, but if you want to know about them, I think I can do it in two sessions. I used to try to do it in one session. It took me an hour and 45 minutes, so I quit torturing people. Even though it was real and genuine for me, I'm not lying about it, but I couldn't get it all in. What God, and that, it's not all the visions, it's just the ones he asked me to share about. And I really didn't want to do it, to tell you the truth. Why didn't you want to tell her? Well, because I've been persecuted at the wazoo for taking my stand on the Word of God and telling people they can be healed, they can be delivered, they can have anything the Bible says they can. And then he's asking me to get up in front of people, like some of you. I don't know you. I don't know your name. I don't know where you live. I don't know how you live. I don't know if you're married, maybe you've got children. I don't know anything much. It's just the pastors. I know them a little. And Amanda's been around them a lot, so I know her. Her name's Amanda. I know that. Anyway, you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So I said back to the Lord, well, why don't you want to share these visions? He knew what I was thinking. I said, do I need to tell you? Don't you know? And he said, yes, I know. Don't be smart. I said, I'm sorry. I'm going to tell you why I said it. Because when I was married to my wife, you know, I've only been married once to the same lady, 48 years. I said, I never talked to anybody on this planet about our romance except you. I only shared that with you, whatever I needed to know about it or whatever. I just talked to you. I never shared a moment of anything that we had in common in that realm with my wife to any other human being. And I said, it's that sensitive to me because you're asking me to get up in front of people that maybe have never heard about a vision before, and I'm going to tell them intimate details that you told me or the angels told me or this and that happened. He said, I don't care how you feel about it. I want you to do it. You're either going to do it or it's going to be something else. I don't want any else. I'd be glad to do it for you. Now, let me explain that because you would misunderstand it unless you're spiritual. You think God's bullying me. God doesn't operate like, he's not big mouth.
That's right.
Okay, I know that. Now, I'm going to explain to you why he said that. Because I'm already kind of a target as a prophet to the devil. And then besides that, I just didn't want to deal with all that. Because if you don't understand me when I talk tonight and tomorrow night, you maybe be critical of something I said or something that happened to me. But this, and he rebuked me, and then he said this to me. Because the only reason I'm asking you to do it, Michael, is not everybody near us going to have visions like you have. I said, okay. He said, well, I think if you share them, and you just be nice about it and share them, do what I tell you to do. Again, I said, I'll be glad to do it. I was a little more perky than that other time I said something. Because I didn't want to be get else. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to withdraw his hand from me. What I've just done by saying no, I don't want to do that. Proverbs 17 says, when a man is rebellious, in the literal Hebrew, an evil spirit will be sent against him. God don't have any evil spirits, but I've done that to myself because I've undone my covering. I'm not walking in God's perfect will now. I'm arguing with him, and I'm telling him, no, I'm not going to do that. I didn't have an adamant look on my face, I don't think. But anyway, I just said I'd rather not deal with that. Well, I'm telling you to. You're either going to do that or it's going to be else for you. And what he was saying is, you think you're a target now. Wait till you disobey me over in this realm. And you know, I'm just telling you what he said to me. And he said, people will get more understanding of what you teach about all the time, about angels, even if they don't see one. They will realize there's another world. I'm going to give you scripture for that in just a minute. There's another world out here that if you have, and it takes one of these three things to make that world to your natural eye, you know, your physical eye. You either have to have a vision. It could be an open vision, close. You have your eyes open or closed, doesn't make any difference, there's still vision. Or you could have a dream at nighttime, or you could operate in discerning of spirits. And I have two of those. I very seldom ever have a dream. in my whole life, maybe five. I'm 73. But I've had visions, and I've had discerning of spirits in my ministry since way back, especially when I got spirit-filled. So that's May of 78. I've had that gift operate. And I don't tell everybody everything I see anyway, and I never embarrass anybody. Amen. If you're scared to get up in the prayer line with me, I'm not going to do anything to embarrass you. But I'm not going to compromise what I'm doing for you either. Okay. All right. Now let me see where I was. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth, and we'll talk later, maybe tonight or tomorrow, sent forth? You know, you're doing the sending. You may not know that now, but if you listen to me, I can help you. And there's a chapter in my book on at the end, you know, how you release them. Of course, that was written 20 years ago. I've got updated myself and other people, and I'll talk about that at some point, not right now. They've been sent forth to minister or to render service for them. That's me and you, for them who shall be heirs of salvation. You know, that was written 2,000 years ago. I just reminded you of that before I tell you what I'm going to say. I'm going to change this scripture so you understand what this is really saying. Sent forth to minister for those who are the heirs of salvation. They ministered to me as a drug addict trying to get me saved. I may tell that vision tonight when I was in a drug house shooting dope in a bathroom. I had a vision there. And that saved my life. I'm not going to tell about it now, but I'm not bragging about these things, but just talking to you, you will understand there's something you don't see, angelic. When I say angels, me, I'm talking about the elect angels, the good angels, the angels that are for you, that are sent to earth to help you. And then you have demons that have been sent to destroy your life. And depending on how spiritual you are or what you do with your life or your body, particularly your body, or how you think about things in your head, the devils will work on you. And if you have a weakness in either area, your mind or your body, they'll work on that to get you messed up and try to kill you. That's their whole goal in life, the devil and his crowd. They're out to destroy, kill, and so forth. John 10:10. Remember that verse? It's the dividing line of the Bible, John 10:10. And Jesus went on to say, he that comes to kill, steal, and destroy, that's the devil, that's the thief. Well, Jesus isn't a thief. Jesus, God's not a thief. The Holy Spirit's not a thief. That had to be the devil. He comes to, but he said, I've come to give you life, and not just biological life where you can breathe and talk, but a spiritual life that consumes you, spirit, soul, and body, 1 Thessalonians 5, that you might be sound in every area. Think about it. And I'm going to say, push this for a minute. You need to work on getting your mind sound. You know, me too. I mean, I'm still renewing my mind. I'm 73, but I still renew my mind. Stay in the Bible, pray, talk to God. I ask a lot of questions, but I don't mind. He don't mind answering. Okay, I'm just, so you have to do the same thing if you stay renewed. Okay, I'm trying to move ahead here a little better. Let's see. So they were working on you to try to get you saved. How much more would they work on you now? Listen to me. You weren't a son before you got saved or a daughter. You were a heathen. You were a Gentile. That's not a bad word, but it's close to it. You know, you were a heathen. You just lived for yourself and for the devil. That's what you did. That's what everybody does that's not saved. Don't kid yourself. And about half the Christians do whatever they want to. I'm just telling you what I know. And I've seen. And then there's such strangeness in the earth. I mean, people that used to be pastors, friends of mine that I knew for 30 years, they just went berserk. Left their husband. Left their wife. Became an addict, became a pervert. I mean, just all kinds of stuff I could do. I'm not trying to bring you down. I'm just letting you aware. Don't play with the world. It'll kill you. Yes, sir. It'll destroy your faith you do have. Well, you sound intense. I'd say dying's intense when you don't know Jesus or you've messed up everything. Yes, sir. I'm just talking to you. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to make you realize what I'm saying. All right. Okay, so remember these angels? Let's just read on down for a second. Let's just capture verse 4 first. God also bearing witness with them. No, let's go back to verse 1. Lord, stop me. 2:1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. What are we talking about? Angels and you. Angels and you. You know, angels and us. It says, take heed to this, the more earnest heed to the things which you have heard, least at any time. Just any time you decide you want to learn about this, then you're out. And not that you can't get restored, but if you don't pay attention to this, he said you'll let them slip away. When you see, like, you, maybe today, maybe you are doing this. I don't know. Maybe you bought my book when I don't know what's the first time I was here, how many years ago, and read it and read it and read it, or then got a little concordance for $12.99 at a bookstore or $39. I don't know what they cost anymore. I got plenty. I don't need another one. You know, and you started studying and reading and thinking about what I was telling you, and you haven't let a thing slip. But now here's the deal. If you get excited for 2 weeks and you do what I'm telling you you could do and should do for yourself, to do with visions, right now, just talking about yourself, and releasing your faith in the angels that are assigned to you, eventually down through here somewhere you're going to get established. You're not now, probably, but you would be in that area concerning angels or concerning devils. I teach on deliverance too, but probably not in this meeting, both of them. I might minister deliverance to some people maybe tomorrow night. We'll see how the Lord shows me. I don't have to preach it to minister it. I have anointing there too. Anyway. But if you stayed with it, you stayed with it for 2 months, then you forgot about it. You went back to work and your wife and your activities, your children's activities. And after a while, you don't even remember where that book's at. No, where did I do that book on angels? Or when did I read about that in the Bible? And you just forgot all about it. Then it's not working for you. I would say it this way. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm trying to be accurate. So don't get mad at me. Be open to me. I know what I'm talking about. I'm not bragging. I've studied it 42. You ought to learn something in 40 years unless you're just ding-dong head. You know what I mean? If I was at that door, whatever, the front door's out this way, and I interviewed you when you came in with a mic, I said, do you believe in angels because I'm teaching them? Oh, yeah, Dr. J. I believe in them all the time. Okay, question number two. When's the last time you prayed or talked, whatever you want to call it, to an angel, and he brought it to pass and you saw the fruit of it? Can you give me one example of that? I'm not pointing at her. Let's just do a vacancy here. Well, next. Do you believe in angels? Sure do. Well, give me the last time you had an event that you prayed about or talked to an angel about. I didn't say Jesus talked to an angel about, and he fulfilled that for you, and you saw the benefits and produced what you said. Next. And so really, we really don't believe in it. Mentally, we agree that there is a word called angel, A-N-G-E-L, in the Bible, but I've never seen anything come out of it. Well, then you don't believe it. If you believe things, Jesus said all things are possible to those who believe. You just told me you believe in the word angel, but you have no proof in your life that they've even done anything for you. And the truth being, I'll tell you what the truth is, if you're over 15, you probably almost got shot, drowned, car wreck, or more things that I could mention. And you didn't even, this was you or me before I knew it, because I was a drug addict. I didn't know nothing about Jesus. I mean, I went to church, but I didn't pay attention. So you're on this side, and all of a sudden you're about to be hit by a car, another car comes, and then boom, all of a sudden you're on the other side of all this. And you kind of go in your mind, what in the world happened to me? And you feel like something divine happened, but you don't know how to explain it. That was your angel helping you. And maybe you didn't ask him to. Maybe you didn't think they were real anyway. But your pastor does, and your grandma does, and somebody's praying for you, somebody in your family, or somebody. Or how about an intercessor picking you up? I picked up a guy in Japan one time in the spirit. I'm not talking about naturally. Had one of those round hats on. He had a fishing pole. He's fishing in a pond. And I saw his face. And God said, you're praying for his salvation. Stay with it. Some I prayed in English. Some I prayed in the spirit. I prayed about 45, 50 minutes. Said, you got it. You could let go now. Okay. So I expect to see him in heaven. I don't know if he'd be wearing his hat, but I'll bet I'll recognize him. Okay. Did I take you out too far and drop you off the cliff? All right. The purpose of my teaching this subject is that you can understand the ministry of angels as it is available to us today. And what I meant by that is in the New Covenant. Now, let me show you one more verse. Well, not just one, then we go home, okay? But hang on, I'm going to show you one right here. Hebrews 12. I'd like you to look at this with me a minute. It'll be a blessing to you. I said I just wanted to give some foundation.
Yes, sir.
I could just give you all scripture, and we just, you know, read, turn here, you know. And sometimes that's good. You need to teach. But my ministry's changed now. I'm a prophet, so I still teach like Dr. Dufresne told me, out of the prophet's anointing, which he said was heavier than what I had as a pastor. It's what he told me. I'm not trying to compete with anybody. My opinion, and doctors was too, so you know what I'm saying. The pastors are most important overall of any of the five because they love you, they stay with you, they marry you, they bury you. When you're sick or your children are sick, don't call me. I'm not coming. I don't have time to come. That's not my role anymore. I did it for almost 40 years. I'm not being mean. Are you listening? Yes. I'm a very compassionate person, but I can't do two roles at the same time. And the Lord told me when I started to step over, he said, if you don't stop this, you're going to be dead in 2 years. Put your son as pastor right now. Because he was only 28 years old. And I said, well, I wanted to kind of help upgrade him for two more years. And then he said, if you do, you'll be dead in 2 years. Because I was trying to travel and pastor at the same time. My spiritual father, Dr. Ed Dufresne, and I think you know him, some of you do, he said, pastors are not prophets. So I had to make a tough decision. I believe that too now. I see it more clearly. I'm not putting down the pastors. Listen, of all five of us, all of us are important. And furthermore, I'll say this because I know what the Bible teaches. You're not going to be mature without the other four. And your pastor knows that. He's got Richard Robert. He's an evangelist. I'm a prophet. I don't know who else you've had here. It's none of my business. But my point is he's a very spiritual man and his wife. Yes. And I trust him. You know, we were in covenant together, the Ames and me. Can I say that? I think that's fair. And I love them dearly and they love me. So hope you enjoy me. Anyway, where did I tell you to turn? Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verse 22, but you are come. So spiritually, you've already come to something here, unto Mount Zion, kind of like the chair where Jesus said, you've already come there in the spirit because you're born again and you're part of his body. Yeah. If you can understand what I'm saying, but you're living in this earth right now. You come into the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. And somebody asked me one time, you think God's got enough angels for me to have one? I said, yes, that's why I'm teaching it. Wake up, will you? If it had been a man, I'd probably slapped him, but it's a girl. That's why I'm teaching this, so you can understand what belongs to you. You didn't earn it. You're not going to earn it. I don't care how long you pray. Yes, you have to receive from God. I was a much better giver than receiver most of my ministry, and then the Lord rebuked me. He said, you're a poor receiver. Knock that stuff out of you. So I worked on me for a while, and I started believing. And being a good receiver, if somebody blessed me. You got a chokehold on your giving? I guarantee it. All of us do. But you might have a chokehold on your receiving. So when anybody gives you something, you say, well, I don't deserve it. Of course you don't. That's why God gave it to you. He's blessing you. Get that out of your head. You want what you deserve. That's a fleshly-minded thinker, things like that. Believe me, you don't want what you... I don't want what I deserve. I want to live for him and have him give me everything he can give me to help me live better for him and help more people in the earth. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
What was I talking about a minute ago? Oh, a company of angels. So this one person, well, what about what, and I just so you know, I know those scriptures are in there. And I'm just talking Daniel and Revelation. They both say there's 10,000 times 10,000 angels. But listen to me a minute. Hebrews, you better listen to Hebrews. Hebrews, in my opinion, is the most important book of the Bible. But you may not think that, but that's okay. But here he tells us what they really are. They're innumerable. And then he proceeded to tell me when I talked to him about it. See, I asked questions. He said, don't you have a thing in the earth called census? I said, sure we do. But do you think they got a tribe of 25 people out in the jungle somewhere in Bolivia? I don't know about that. He said, even if they counted them, that's a number that people come up with of how many human beings are on the planet. I think it's about 8 billion now, something like that. But he said, the angels are innumerable. You can't even count them. There's so many. Man, that made me excited.
Yes.
For all the people that I teach this to, and they said, well, I don't think I have an angel. Well, then you're going to do without him.
That's right. Yeah.
Amen. If you don't think he exists, you can't have what you don't know. And you can't know unless you're taught. Now, maybe you already know everything I've said so far. That's good. I'm faith comes by hearing. Now, you had a second time to hear this. If you've heard it the first time. Or a fifth time or a 25th time, I keep hearing it. Like Pastor said, Mrs. Ames, we were talking in the truck yesterday after, you know, they were on the plane with us, and then we got in one vehicle, all of us, and we were talking. We had church in the vehicle coming back from Garden City. We were shouting and praising, and weren't we? We were all getting drunk in the Holy Ghost. I think she said at first, man, we're going to have a meeting. I'm trying to have a meeting with you, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're just getting started. 50 minutes. I got a few more minutes, if you'll give me a little bit. Not much, but a few. So this is what I realized now, that there's innumerable company of angels that we've joined to. So there's plenty of angels to go around. Let me help you.
Amen.
I've never counted all those assigned to me, because in one issue, I don't know in this one area, because God didn't tell me. He just said I had a portion. And that came from Pastor Nancy Dufresne, who taught this at Iowa, where I was not present. And I'd heard Dad say this a lot of times. I'll just tell you how I know about this one thing. He was somewhere, I think in the northwest of the country. He got off an airplane. God said, turn around. There was 100 angels by two. They came off 50 pairs. And he said, well, Lord, what are those for? He knew about angels, believe me. And he said, and the Lord said, those are healing angels assigned to work with you in your ministry. So Pastor Nancy, she knew that. And I went to her church, you know, I don't know what year that was, 2011 maybe. And then Dad went home in 2013. And I taught, and she's a very intelligent, smart, spiritual lady anyway. But I taught on angels, and I said, the angels that are here, they don't go to heaven when they leave you. They get reassigned. Because this is where their territory is, the earth. And I have a whole chapter in my book on it, so there's plenty of scriptures to support it. I don't have time to go there with you. But she was in that meeting in Iowa, and she was praying in the day in her hotel room. She said, Lord, I wonder about those 100 healing angels. What are you going to do with those? Because I know they don't go back to heaven. He said, I'm giving you 50. And she said, I'm giving the other 50 spread out. So she didn't tell me how many. Among some of his sons, some of the predominant sons that were close to him. And she named Ricky Edwards. I think he's kind of a prophet evangelist type person. I don't know which office he stands in for sure. Maybe the prophet. Jay Eberly and Dr. Jacobs. So somebody sent me that on a CD. And then later somebody sent me the type copy of that, what she said. So I asked the Lord one time when that happened. That happened about maybe 2 or 3 years ago, maybe 4, maybe further back. And I asked the Lord, how many of those do I have assigned to me, if it's okay to ask? And he didn't respond. So I know Jesus pretty well. And if he don't respond to me, then I don't need to know that. There's other issues I do know. And in my visions, I'll tell you about so many came and did this and so many. Okay. You with me? Okay, so it's like this when I thought about, you know, we've come unto them, we already have them. It's like when you're a younger man and woman and you have children and your kids give you a list for Christmas. You know, sometimes you get older and you're married. What do you want for your birthday? Nothing. You're lying about it. Come on, tell her what you want. Tell him what you want. You know I'm telling you the truth. Anyway, but when you have young kids and you get them these toys and you forgot to get batteries. Oh, it's pandemonium on Sunday morning. They rip through that. Where's the batteries, Dad? Oh, I'm going to Walgreens. I don't know if Walgreens is even open on Christmas.
Yeah, they're open.
They're open all the time. They may be open in heaven, probably. I don't know. I'm just teasing you. Catch up with my humor. Or just sit there and look funny. I don't know. All right. But it's kind of like that. You feel like, well, I didn't get batteries. What's wrong with me? But I'm saying to you in the body of Christ, You don't have to worry about batteries. They were included. That's the angels.
Amen.
You got those too. You maybe didn't know it. The pastor that led you to Christ didn't know nothing about them, but he did get you saved. I mean, he bring you to the cross or to the throne, whatever you say. Okay. Now, hang on just a minute. I wanted to read something here and then tell a story maybe, something that I know about. All right. You know, we just had a lot of things happen. We were in Manzanillo, Mexico, which is more of a resort place for the Mexicans, not so much for Americans, though they have some really high-class hotels there. I went there to do a meeting for a pastor, lady pastor, Maria Rancun. I've been in her church maybe 4 or 5, 6 times in my life. And I did a meeting for her, me and Mike Rabel, who's an apostle, who's a good friend of mine, 40 years we've known each other. And I had a word of knowledge. I was teaching on angels. I had a word of knowledge about your heart, your physical heart, your pumper. And 8 people came. So I started over here with a gentleman. I laid hands on his head. But when I did, an angel came around my hip, around my right hip like this. He stuck his arm in his chest about that far. And he started, to my eyes, it looked like he was opening a safe. You know how you spin it one way? And then,
yes.
And then when I took my hand off his head, he took his hand down. Uh-huh. I got help on this today. Now, listen, this is interesting. I've noticed this in every time they've showed up in a healing line with me. That they don't move until I move. I thought it's interesting. See, because let me tell you why. Because we're in authority. I didn't tell him to do that, but he's assigned to me in my healing ministry. So he jumps in whenever he can, because I'm open to that. Then the next one's a lady. I did the same thing. When I touched her head, he came around, stuck his arm, his hand, about up to his wrist, into her chest, and started doing that again. So I knew by the Spirit, he's fixing her heart, dealing with issues, maybe repairing a vein or artery. I don't know which does what, but anyway, I'm not a medical doctor. And then he took his, and then all eight of them, he did that, and they were all healed. But the lady, the second one, she was so ecstatic. And I like to play with people a little in spiritual things occasionally, so don't be mad at me. You don't do this for a living, do you? You ought to make a little fun about
it. Right.
Anyway, she ran to me real quick. Did you see that angel put his hand in my chest? I said, what? I said, did you say an angel put his hand in your chest? Yes. Did you see it? I said, yeah, I did. What did happen? What happened when he took his arm out, hand out? I was healed. All my symptoms left me.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, I saw him. I just want to make sure you did.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And sometimes people play with my head, try to play with it. So I always turn it back on. Anyway, and they all got healed. And that lady was just, she was so excited. You know, if you had a bad heart, and I prayed, laid hands on your head, but he did the work in your chest. How does he know how to do that? Believe me, he's trained. I don't know how he knows, but he knows. Let me read you this as a prophecy, and then I'm going to share two things with you quickly. I'm 56. I'm 73, but it's 56 minutes I've been preaching. This is a prophecy. See, I am a doctor. It's a prophecy in 1988 from Kenneth E. Hagin. As a prophet, he was really a prophet. I think one of the main prophets in America, just knowing his life and reading about his background and all that. So he had a vision in 1988 at camp meeting. That was probably Tulsa, I guess. And he had three angels come to him. The first one was in the political arena and talked to him about that. Second, in the financial arena, talked to him about that. And the third angel, he said, a change is coming in the spiritual realm, in this realm in which you minister, and in this realm in which others who minister in the spirit minister. Then he said this, no, not a change in the church world. They'll just keep on going with their plans and purposes and pursuits. They won't change for anybody. You can forget it. There's a lot of churches like that, even Word of Faith people. They wouldn't know move of God if he came in with a red hat. Just wouldn't know it. Because they're just so, you know, you get rooted. I know that because I rutted my people. I didn't say rutted. I rutted my people in teaching.
Yeah.
Before I'm like I am today. And I would preach an hour and a half and get mad at you if you got up and go to the bathroom. See, I was just rooted in that, rutted in that, rather. And then I went to a camp meeting with Dr. Ed Dufresne. I came back and I was changed. For the next 4 years, anointing stayed on me that I never had before. I still have it today in the measure. I'm just talking to you here. If something changes your life like that, you don't yield to it, it won't happen. You can just go back to teaching, Dr. Jacobs. That's what people expected. But when I got home, I stood in front of the pulpit, back of the pulpit. I said, I got something out there in California. Whoever wants it, run up here. Pastor Keith Rogan, he's been here before.
Yes.
My son in Nashville. He's from Nashville, too, those two. In different parts of Nashville, they probably. And he did something odd. I touched him on his head, and he fell back on his back. And then he went up on his shoulder blades. I don't know how he did it. He's a stocky guy. He's really built, you know, like a football player. He was a famous football player in high school. He stuck his leg straight up in the air and looked like he was riding a unicycle. I don't know how he did that, but it changed his life too. And my whole church changed because anointing got on me I hadn't had until that moment for 3.5 years.
Amen.
Every service we had was different. You never knew what was going to happen.
Hallelujah.
But I told him, you know, if you don't like this, you can go somewhere else. I'm not going to get away from the Holy Ghost. I got touched by God through Dr. Dufresne. I know it was God. I know I was touched. And it changed me.
Amen.
For 3.5 years.
Amen.
And every service would be different. And I was trying to make up things in my head. And I was so ignorant of the word back then, even though I had three Bible schools in my church. It wasn't that I didn't know nothing. But the things I was doing then, the things we were working in there, I'd never studied. And I would go ahead and do it and then go back and study the Bible and then come back and tell them. Now, this is what happened last Sunday. This is what happened 2 weeks ago on Wednesday. And the smart ones agreed with me. The ones that wanted to stay, I wouldn't say dumb, that's kind of a strong word for people I don't know, but they wanted to stay illiterate and ignorant in this realm. They didn't want to step out there with me. I don't understand people that do that. That's a personal thing with me. I don't understand people that stay the same every day of their life, eat a peanut butter sandwich and two Oreos. My God, couldn't you just eat three Oreos or two Fig Newtons? I don't understand people like that. I don't. Nobody has to kick me in the seat of the pants to get me moving. I've been like this most of my life. I thank you, Father, for that. I'm not happy about it, Bob. Am I being too intense with you?
No, sir.
I want to get to my scripture to read to you. Well, I'm at an hour now. Just hang on. You might not beat the Methodists to the cafeteria, but you'll be okay. All right. Then he went on to say this. He said, this is the beginning of the last days, 1988. How much more is it the beginning? Not the beginning, but moving into it. And he said, they'll learn to walk in the Spirit. They'll learn to join forces with the forces of heaven. The angels will come and minister unto them, and the angels will come and minister with them. Now, the reason I'm saying that, I have both those things operative in my life. I can't tell you all these stories right now. I had hepatitis C one time, being a drug addict, and I'll maybe tell you in the meeting later. But this said the angels will come and minister unto them. I got ministered to by Dr. Dufresne. He didn't even know anything about it. I just went to a meeting in Birmingham. He was in Pastor Webb's church, Scott Webb. I know you know him. And I can tell you this much. I went to a doctor, and he said, your blood's messed up. And he called me at home, so I knew he's concerned. What do you mean my blood's messed up? Well, I don't want to talk to you over the phone. Well, I can tell you, I don't know what it is, but it's really squirrely. And you need to come back and give me blood immediately. I said, I'm scheduled to go out of town tomorrow. I promise you, I'll come back on Monday when I get off the plane. I'll come downtown and give you as much blood as you want. So I thought, I had Dr. Dufresne's number, but didn't want to bother him. I was going to see him on Friday night, at least see him in the meeting. The meeting was packed. I was 10 rows back. He got up to preach. I guess I'm going to tell you about it since you didn't say anything. I'm going to tell you. You could have said, skip that and go to the next one. I'm going to do the other one too, just for that. So I didn't have a chance to tell him what I needed. But the devil brought back to my mind, you know, hepatitis C will kill you. It'll destroy your liver. And if your liver's destroyed, unless you get a continuous miracle, I've heard of that occasionally, but not very often, that keeps an organ functioning when it should have been dead. But typically, you're going to die from that unless you get it fixed. So anyway, I didn't have time to, I didn't want to call Dr. Dufresne. I was going to write a little note to an usher and say, would you give this to Dr. Dufresne if you see him tonight? Just hand it to him in the hall. He'll know who I am. But I didn't get a chance to do that. I'm sitting where I was back. He starts to preach, and he just talking for maybe 5 minutes or less, and he stopped. He fell into a trance like this. And he stood there for probably 2 minutes. He said, Dr. Jacobs, where are you? I said, I'm back here. Step out in this aisle. I stood down about 20 feet from him or more. The Lord shows me something's wrong with your body. Is that right? I said, yes, sir. He said, there's an angel behind you. And he started chuckling. He said, I know you believe in him. He read my book. And it's one that encouraged me to write the book on angels. Okay. And he said, he's going to touch you. He came to touch you. He's going to fix all that. And about that time, that angel hit me in the head and down I went. And he didn't know. He just knew that by the Holy Ghost. He picked it up. He didn't say what was wrong. He said, something's wrong with you, isn't it? And I said, yes, sir. So that was being ministered to by an angel. But the angels work with me. I'm going to give you at least two things if you could give me just a few more minutes. I don't think you're going to see this on Fox News. I don't even think you maybe see it on a Christian show. I'm not sure. Some people operate. But anyway, so I went to Nashville, Tennessee. You were in that first meeting that you came to meet me, right? You too? And I was at downtown in Nashville in the Lowe's Hotel, one of my favorite hotels of anywhere in the world. And I had Pastor Rogan got me a suite. So my wife could have a whole side of the thing. She could watch TV, read a magazine. And I go in here and I had a desk and a chair, and it was a nice hotel. And I was over there praying during the day, and I had a vision. I saw a car accident with a human being in it. I didn't know if it was male or female because it all came really quick to me. But I saw five things that was messed up on the person driving. There was only one in the car. And normally I operate in word of knowledge. Like if you have a bad left ankle, get up here. You have a right ear that doesn't function fully, get up here. You have something wrong with your spleen, get up here. You know, stuff like that. But it's just not like elaborate, you know, but it's like one. And the Lord gave me five things. So and he brought it to me while I'm preaching that night at Pastor Rogan's church. And these two were a witness of this. And I said, you were in a car accident. Whoever you are, you're here. Because the Lord said to tell you, remind you. And this was injured, this was injured, this, this, and this. Who is that? The lady over here lifted her hand. And she got embarrassed because she said, well. Then she slowed down. Well, I'm a visitor here. This is my first time in this church. I said, is what I said accurate, lady? To the T. I said, okay. So now I don't know if she's a Lutheran, a Pentecostal, a Catholic, a heathen. Right. I said, would you mind coming up and let me lay my hands on you? And God will transmit the healing power to your body, and he'll fix all that for you. Because he showed me in the hotel today your accident. Then I didn't know it was female until she stood up. And then so I'm like right here. She was a good student, though, for being not churched, or I don't know who she was. She stood back here like this, and I'm over here. See, I'm committed to living by faith, so I go like this to come to her, because that's the way the Lord instructed me to minister to people, normally, laying on. He said, hold up, move back. So you want to be a faith person, huh? Here we go. I'm waiting for further instructions, or she's just going to stand there. He said, one of your healing angels that work with you is going to take care of this today, tonight. Tell her that. And have her raise her hands. I said, lady, there's nothing wrong with you for me to lay hands on you, but the Lord said one of the angels that's a healing angel is going to work on you personally. Would you mind lifting your hand? I tell this story. This lady was not a Chinese gymnast. Maybe you've heard me tell this before. It's hilarious. She was not skinny at all. And I'll be polite and say she was just a little bulky. Forgive me if that offends you. I'm kind of full figure too, you know what I mean? I tickled myself this then. I'll be back in a minute. So I said, lift your hands up. She put her hands up, but when she put it, got them fully up, she started going back like this. And she went back to the back of her head was equal to her rear end. I never saw anybody do that except a Chinese gymnast. That's why I brought her up to China. And you just think that the spine's going to snap and come through her back. I mean, it was just amazing. And then she came up slowly, and then he turned her one way like this, and this way real hard. I'm not going to go have to go to a chiropractor for this. So, and then she put her hands up, or he put them up, I don't know which, and he brought her up on her tiptoes and then just gently brought her back down. The thing took about one minute, maybe 80 seconds, and she was totally healed. You were there. You saw her do that. It was unfathomable looking at it in the natural, because you think, how could she do that? Right. But God healed her. Now I'm going to tell you one more story, and I'll let you go have some lunch. And if I get something between now and the closing, I'll minister to you. But always remember this. With my meetings, you know, every service is different. Yes, that's just what I tell people. So you say, well, you didn't minister to me. Well, what do you think I've been doing for an hour? Come on, help me here a little bit. But I do have anointing in my hands, but it's not activated right now. So if I get something, I will call it out, and maybe tonight might be a blowout or tomorrow night. That's why Pastor Jim said, Dr. Ames, come to all the services if you can.
Yeah.
You know, unless you got so much pain in your teeth, because he said you could skip your dental appointment. You could go. We'd understand if you had bad pain. Anyway, so I was at another meeting in Virginia. This, I don't know how long that's been, maybe 12 years ago. And the speakers, there was five or six of us all sat at one table this one day. And one of the speakers was up preaching on the platform. And I heard his sermon. He did a great job. His name's Jerry McGee. He's kind of a biker guy, but he does great winning souls. And he does camp meetings and stuff like that. Okay. So, and I knew his son. So he's up there talking. He comes back to the table and he puts his hand out and said, I'm Dr. Jacobs. Nice to meet you. He said, you know what? And he said this to me like he knew me, but I'd never met him before. He said, I have problems with my spine. I said, well, I'm anointed for spines and bones. How about I pray for you tonight? I'm preaching when the anointing's on me. That'd be better for you. He said, sure. I said, I'm not going to pretend it's a word of knowledge. I'll tell everybody you told me that at lunch because I don't pretend stuff. So I'm up there preaching, and he's kind of halfway back. I don't even know if he has the Bible. He looks like he's really ticked off at me. I mean, from his facial expression, I thought, boy, he don't like what I'm teaching. I'm teaching on angels. I don't know if anybody ever told me they didn't like me teaching on them, but he looked like he was fat mad. Anyway, I closed my Bible. This is what I do sometimes. And Jerry, step out here. I'm going to pray for you. And I laid hands on his head, and I stepped back, and I said, that's an anointing for your spine. Then the angel, a different angel than was with me with the heart issue, different one. He came around this side of my body. And I know everybody can't see me, but he stuck his finger down here, his lower abdomen, and started moving something along. I said, Jerry, that angel's moving something down in here. And he turned around and ran out of the meeting. I'm thinking, man, he must be ticked off at me. I'm in a Marriott hotel in a room. You know, you can rent a room, about 100 people in it. He ran out straight out the back door, and I thought, well, where'd he go? Maybe he went home. Maybe he went to the upstairs to go to bed. I don't know what, in the Marriott Hotel. You know, we're all sleeping there. And so I just went on. There's something else about me. I'm not taking you home with me to figure you out. You know, what happened to that guy? No, I'm just going to move on. So I started ministering to other people. I'm just telling you how I do it. You can get complicated in your life as much as you want, but no thanks, I'm not interested in getting complicated. And so I ministered to 3 or 4 other people. Jerry came in the back door and he comes in like this. Jerry, what happened to you? He said, you may have noticed I looked a little angry tonight. I said, did I notice? I thought you were mad at me. He said, well, I had a kidney stone. And I hadn't been able to use the restroom for 3 days. And when you said that an angel was moving something, I felt it down in there moving. And I went to the men's room and it passed. And I'm healed. Praise God. I bet you didn't wake up thinking about an angel moving a kidney stone, but they can do it. See, we just, I mean, not generically, but kind of, we're kind of just ignorant of all this. And you feel like I'm telling you something that's not true. I was there. I saw the angel do it. He was there. He got it moved, and he was free from pain. And if you haven't been to the restroom in 3 days, you're probably hurting. Your bladder's as big as a balloon or whatever. You know, I don't know. Sometimes the same people that get up, you know, in church settings a lot, they can go to a 90-minute, a two-hour movie and never move a muscle, drink a 35-ounce Pepsi. I don't get it. You don't have an answer for me. I know you don't. I'm just a church guy, and I paid attention.
Amen.
Not mad at anybody.
That's right. Yes, sir.
But I paid attention.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, I'll wait on that, Father. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Just waiting, just seeing what God has, if he has anything for me this morning to do. I don't think he does right now. So we have, you know, several different anointings. I have anointing for teeth and jaw injuries and teeth and jaw issues, teeth and, you know, that little thing back here, TMJ deal, it clicks. Have it anointing for that, and teeth issues and gum issues and things like that. Dr. Dufresne slapped me in the jaw and said, you got anointing for this now. So when that comes up, I'm just telling you a little bit about what I do. Normally, when God's on me to do it, you can't just make up things, you know. How many know that you can't make up things?
Yeah.
And there was 100 people saw that guy delivered that sit back there like he was just rude and mad at me. You know, not rude, but he just, I thought maybe I'm preaching something he don't believe in. I don't know. But he just seemed like he wasn't paying attention. Of course, if I was in pain and went to the restroom in 3 days, I might have threw something at me. You know, shut up. You get anything today? All kinds of angels that do all kinds. I don't know every bit of it. I just know a little bit, but 42 years is. And yielding to what the Spirit of God showed me to do in several settings is help people get delivered and stuff, especially discerning of spirits. I don't know if I told this story here or not. I'll tell it, and I'm going to let you go. It's 1:13. I'm paying attention. Not letting you go, but I'm paying attention. But no, I'll just save that story for some other time. No. Well, okay, I'll tell you. Since one of my persons said, I went to a church in Texas. I don't think I've ever been back. I don't think he's mad at me. He just left our company. But there was some people came. I had a word about nightmares. That's the first time I ever had that word publicly, and a bunch of people came, 8 or 10 people. I got down to the last lady. She looked like she's about 33. I laid hands on her for the nightmares, and that left. But when I had my hands on her, I saw into her chest area, and I saw this evil spirit. I knew it had, and listen to me, I knew it had something to do with sexual things, but I didn't know in what area, didn't need to know. And I just said to her, hey, while I'm here, I'm going to pray for something, okay? And I just winked at her, I'm going to take care of this for you. She looked a little intimidated. I said, I'm going to keep my hands on your head. Listen, I'll get you some help. Of course, she didn't say nothing to me, and I didn't say anything publicly for people to think she's messed up. So I said, come out of her in the name of Jesus. She had a little conniption fit, I call it, like a seizure, but I've seen them do that a lot of times. I had people bark at me like a dog. I'll maybe tell some of that later, but I'm talking about this one lady. And it finally came. I said, it's coming out. There it goes. And I let her go, and she was all right. She went to her pastor. It was dismissed after that. That was the last person I ministered to that evening. She went to her pastor, and he sent me back in the room to get a sandwich. He said, I didn't even know she was meeting with him, but he told me on the way to the airport the next day, that lady you mentioned, the last one, this one of my ladies, she's married to a guy in my church. She's a very dedicated young lady, but she had 2 children by her husband. But her father molested her from about 9 years old to 17. And he told her, if you ever tell your mother, I'll kill both of you. So you can imagine what a 9-year-old thinks when her dad threatens her. I mean, you know, it's just one of the most horrific things I've ever heard of about a man doing to his own children. I just can't fathom that. But anyway, so she told me she all those years he did things. And finally, she just had a nervous breakdown. And she told her mother, and they got divorced, the mom and dad. And nothing happened to the mother except getting away from him, which was great. But then she had so low self-esteem, which you can imagine a young lady with people do stuff, especially your father. I mean, I don't know how you'd process that. It's terrible. And then she went to a club to start dancing because I know for a fact ladies can make a lot of money for that kind of thing, but, you shouldn't do that.
Yes, sir.
And that's not really morality at all. It's perversion. But anyway, so she finally met this man that was in the church and fell in love with him and got saved and had children with him. But she said, tell Dr. Jacobs, I never felt clean until he prayed for me last night.
Amen.
So that's what that's a gift of discerning your spirits. If I hadn't have been that close and hadn't seen anything, I wouldn't have dealt with it. But because I had my hands on her and the Lord permitted me to operate in a different gift, then I was able to deal with that effectively.
Yeah.
You know, Brother Hagin, I just heard, what's her name? Help me, Raymond.
Patsy
Caminiti talk, and I heard her on an interview just 2 nights ago at my home, maybe 3, and she said she was in healing school with Dr. Hagin for a long time and walked with him because sometimes it was the lady, there was something wrong, he couldn't put his hand on, it wouldn't be appropriate. He'd take her hand, put it there, and then lay his hand on top of that. Everything's kosher. And she said she did that for a long time, but she noticed about 1 out of 4 people in every prayer line needed deliverance. I've been saying that for a long time. I didn't know that percentage. Of course, he's gone 20 years now, so I would say it's a lot further than that. I'm just telling you what I know from human beings, and I'm anointed to do that, and I'm not bragging. But I would say there's probably, more like 2 in 4 anymore. Just all kinds of people messed up in all kinds of things. And sometimes I can help them. That one lady that was a pastor, she left her husband. I couldn't help her. She just got to where she had no respect for authority in her life, God or mine or her husband's. Mine to help her. That was the only thing I was trying to do is get her delivered. I said, do you not realize there's something involved here? You have become a different person. Do you not realize that? Well, I don't care. Well, I want to lay hands on you. Well, go ahead if you want. That was her attitude at the end. Go ahead if you want. There's no reason to. If you feel like that towards us, you're not going to get much. It's not that I'm not willing to give you what I have, but you're not receiving. You're mad at me because I'm dealing with you. I said, I'm pretty sure there's a third, and I never met with her alone. I never met with any lady alone in my entire ministry. My secretaries or my wife or somebody else would meet with, and I didn't ever do that. I kept myself from even getting in a situation somebody could accuse me.
Amen.
Okay, thank you so much. I'm just being honest. I guarded stuff like that because people are so goofy.
Yep.
They tell somebody, well, he touched me in some place, and I wasn't even close. I was 4 feet from her. Then I got to deal with my reputation and all that stuff.
Exactly.
Anyway, I just couldn't help her. So she left her husband. She left God. But I don't know what to do with that stuff anymore. She was a pastor. She out of all my daughters at that point in time, she was the best preacher, the woman preacher I knew. She got up and preached in my pulpit when she wasn't this way in her mind and preached a great message and made the ladies flock to the altar to get ministry from her. But something happened. Some kind of devil got a hold of her and worked on her, and then he made an entrance into her because she opened the door. I know I'm talking a lot, but this is, it's things I know, not things I read in somebody else's book.
Right.
I remember one time I had a lady, and that my good friend Dale Till has been with me over 40 years, and another lady that was back there with me. I had about 10 people to minister to. I laid hands on her and I said, come out of her. And that spirit walked out about 3 feet, looked at me, looked back at her, walked right back into her. I saw it with my own eyes. I had discerning of spirits, didn't know I was going to see it. And I said to her, let's make up a name. Let's call her Ruth. I said, Ruth, you got a problem. How's that? I said, you got something in your heart about somebody, and I'm picking up maybe resentment and bitterness. Who is that? Oh, that's not right. I said, well, listen, you need to just go on home. You're a member here, but I'm not going to minister to you. I saw an evil spirit come out of you and went right back into you because you left the door open. He can't just bust in on you anytime you think. I don't know if you know that or not. But if you leave a door open or do something that opens the door, then it'll certainly take advantage of you. And sometimes he brings all of his cousins. But in this case, I said, well, why don't you just woman up and tell me what the deal is? Is it your husband? Oh, my God, yes. What do you mean? Did he beat you? Did he do something to you that's forbidden? No, I'm just mad. I said, well, then you want to keep your devil, or you want to go home with the devil that's in you, or you want me to pray for you? If you want me to pray for you, I'm going to pray first for you to forgive your husband. Okay. You know, there's people just resenting me trying to get her free.
Wow.
Okay, I'll pray with you. I said, Father, in Jesus, I forgive my... And when I said...